read you a story. 30 years ago, my older brother, who was 10 years old at the time, was trying to get a report on birds written that he'd had 3 months to write. It was due the next day. We were out at our family cabin in Bolinas, and he was at the kitchen table close to tears, surrounded by binder paper and pencils and unopened books on birds, immobilized by the hugeness of the task ahead. Then my father sat down beside him, put his arm around my brother's shoulder, and said, "Bird by bird, buddy, just take it bird by bird." This was celebrated author Anne Lamond's father and brother, and years later, when she wrote a book about learning to write, she titled it Bird by Bird. That's first grade teacher Veronica McQueen's advice, too. Just take it bird by bird. Catch the children up in the thrill of learning, in this case learning about birds, and help them spread their wings as readers and writers. Veronica shares these lessons she's learned in her almost 30 years of teaching first graders to write. First, build on the children's interest, birds in this case. Use visualization and drama to make nonfiction come alive. Use visual representations, graphic organizers, to help young writers see their ideas and how these ideas fit together. Keep journals for daily writing practice. Use the journal as a window into the young writer's development, and teach when there's a lesson that needs to be learned either individually, in a small group, or the whole group. Write first, get your ideas down, and then proof, edit, and refine for sharing. In the mini-documentary of Veronica's first grade classroom, you'll see how she makes reading a nonfiction book a big production, complete with graphic organizers and drama. Then you'll see how natural it is for students to learn to write their first reports about a topic they've studied for weeks and know so well, birds. They begin with one bird, the owl. Then we'll fly westward to the small mountain town of Saluda, to our favorite fourth grade classroom where Carl Ann Sherping, the teacher who leads her children in an annual community-based writing project, gives some tips about how she scaffolds writing instruction so children can learn how to organize their writing and not be overwhelmed by the hugeness of it all. First of all, Carl Ann makes sure that her students have read a lot of nonfiction, both narrative style and expository style, that they're familiar with the text structure for both. Remember that we talked a lot about the value of teaching students to recognize text structures in Module 5. Then Carl Ann teaches her students to recognize topic sentences in their reading and to write their own. This isn't a concept lightly taught and mastered. It often takes a lot of modeling to help young writers understand topic sentences. Carl Ann demonstrates an approach she's found very successful, brainstorming ideas about a topic or after an experience, in this case, a video conference with another fourth grade. Note how she teaches the students to use graphic organizers to collect their ideas, organize them, and compose topic sentences. The beauty of this integrated reading and writing approach is that it supports what writers tell us helps them write best, becoming good, observant readers. After all, reading is the best school for writing. Anne Lamott believes that writing can help you begin to read with a writer's eye, help you focus in a new way, and that becoming a better writer is going to help you become a better reader, and that's the real payoff. The beloved Southern writer Eudora Welty said, "I don't know whether I could do either reading or writing without the other." Technology has given us new ways to read and write, but how can video conferencing technology contribute to the reading-writing process? Carl Ann is an early pioneer in the area of using video conferencing to teach writing. She has a fourth grade sister class in her school system and two other fourth grade classrooms, one in the Piedmont region and the other in the coastal region of our state, that her class video conferences with frequently. Beyond the wonderful opportunities to have a real-world study of North Carolina, with the children of each classroom sharing what they know about how people live and have lived in their community and region, these students are also learning to write for a real audience, an audience of their peers who may be on the other side of the state. Carl Ann was inspired to use critiquing by an art teacher who taught young artists to present their work and engage in a dialogue with their peers about how they could improve their art making. Critiquing is done best when we can create the conditions for children to engage in a dialogue that creates deeper levels of understanding, empathy, and mutual enlightenment. Dialogue is not so much asking the right questions, providing the right feedback, as it is creating a process and nurturing a relationship, a dialogic relationship, that brings teacher and children together in an open and trusting exchange based on mutual respect that becomes true dialogue. The goal is not for children to be critical, but to help each other reflect by offering honest, substantive information about how the writing makes them feel and think. The revising process, as Lucy Calkins describes it, should help young writers revision or see again their work so they can make it communicate more expressively, more compellingly. Of course, the best way for students to learn to enter into this kind of dialogic relationship is to see their teacher model it as she confers with them in one-to-one writing conferences as well as in whole group critiques. With practice, the young writer can then begin an internal dialogue between the writer and himself to raise questions, embrace ambiguities, and take risk. Mary Jane Zander, an art educator, encourages dialogue with these powerful questions. How can we presume to teach students if we do not hold them responsible for becoming active participants in constructing their own understandings? And how can we be responsive teachers if we're not willing to become learners ourselves? All writers respond to the honest, non-judgmental point of view offered up through such critiques. Perhaps video conferencing with peers whom you've never met in person, but come to know deeply through the sharing of your writing, can offer a special kind of dialogic relationship, can become a warm, supportive audience that inspires young writers to create words that take wings. Perhaps they will learn to write bird by bird.